I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor His disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you were looking for Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on Him that God the Father has set His seal." Then they said to Him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." So they said to Him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty." And may the Lord add His blessing to this reading.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the reading. As you can see, once again, Jesus and His disciples cannot get away from the people. They jump in a boat and they go over, and the next thing you know, they're saying, "Hey, where'd you go? Why'd you leave?" You know, that had to be disturbing. There was nowhere they could go, no peace, no time. But Jesus took it in stride. He usually did. What seems strange to you in this passage, other than the fact that the people are relentless, is there anything that seems incredibly strange to you about what Jim just read? Now, we already pointed out the crowd is still following Jesus. I don't know that that's incredible. It's pretty much expected. But the really strange part to me comes here in verse 30. Since all of you were speaking at the same time, I thought I would do this. So they said to Him, "What sign are you going to give us so we may see it and believe you?" Seriously? Think about it. Jesus just fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and they said, "Hey, when are you going to give us a sign?" Were they asleep? They just missed it. They missed the whole thing. Jesus just fed them. And they're saying, "Hey, when are you going to give us a sign?" And Jesus did not just feed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but He even gave a teaching to go with it. And not only that, they picked up leftovers. So He made even more than what He needed. I don't know, just reading about the feeding of 5,000 appears to be a really big sign to me. Apparently not to them. Well, again, as usual, Jesus takes it in stride, but maybe this is where the people miss things. Let's look. There's this old Japanese village, true story, old Japanese village. And one afternoon, as the people are working, there was an earthquake. Well, the people were used to it. They had earthquakes before. It wasn't a surprise. So they didn't think anything of it. They just kept working. But up on the hill, way up there, was a farmer, a rice farmer. And he had stacks and stacks of rice ready for market. And he felt the earthquake, and he looked out, and he realized that the water in the ocean was going out instead of in. And he says, oh my, we need to do something. Well, he couldn't get the people's attention. They're down in the valley, so he gets all of the rice that he had ready for market, has his son get a torch. He runs over and torches his rice for market. And a big fire starts. Well, everyone in the village, they're down there working, and they look up and they say, well, what in the world? There's a fire. And the bells start ringing, and all of the people of the village start running up the hill to get to the farmer. And they're watching him, and he's just standing there on the corner watching them on the prefaces, on the preface of the hill. Okay, we'll get it out. So he's just standing there watching them. And the people's just, they're like, he's crazy. He's gone nuts. He's burning his crops. And they all run up the hill. When they get there, the farmer says, look. And they turn around, and here comes the tsunami. It wiped out their village. Broke their homes into matchsticks. Destroyed the village, but they were all safe. It never occurred to them that when you have an earthquake, something else is going to happen. The farmer sacrificed his crops to save the lives of all the people. Jesus has this great miracle feeding all of these people with very little food. They never see it. They just say, why, you fed us. You think you got anything else we could eat? They're thinking of physical needs, not of spiritual needs. So Jesus says, the Lord just committed a mighty act through me and fed you, but all you saw was food. All you saw was food. You didn't see the miracle. You missed it. Here's this big tsunami of God's love coming to save you, and you missed it. But let us remember Jesus' words when he says to the crowd, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, you missed that, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Japanese village. The people saw the fire, they never saw the tsunami coming. It's interesting how we do that. The power and glory of God just bore down on the people who ate and never saw the power or the glory of the Lord. The people following Jesus saw a means to get food, not how the food was gotten. Their bellies were full, and that's all that mattered to them. And Jesus tells them, you totally missed the point. And that question is asked of each and every one of us. That scripture speaks to all of us. Has the power and glory of God eluded you? Are you one who only tends to the material things and not the spiritual things in life? For example, you see the church, but not how the church came into being. When people were persecuted, people were torn to pieces by lions. When the disciples were killed, beaten, stoned, and yet we still have a church. Don't feel bad, we all do it. We tend to see what's in front of us, but not what got us where we are. These people who followed Jesus in this passage continued their ignorance when they said, what sign are you going to give us so we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses. It was not Moses that gave them bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. You see, we do this. The people are reading Scripture, and the people of the Jewish faith at the time would read the Scripture of how the people needed food and Moses did a miracle. No, he didn't. God did the miracle through Moses. God works miracles through us. God works miracles through us. And if we take the credit and say, oh, did you see what I did? We're taking the glory from God. Don't you find that interesting? They thought Moses did a miracle, not God through Moses. A little girl took too much time coming back from the store. Her parents had sent her to the store, and it was a long time, and she didn't come back. And then finally she showed up. And so the parents asked, what on earth took you so long? Why didn't you get back sooner? And she said, I was watching the devil's funeral. What do you mean, the devil's funeral? Her astonished mother asked. Well, I was watching the cars of a funeral go by and counting them, and a man next to me said, well, the poor devil was only sick a week. All too often when children make those kind of mistakes, we can't help but laugh. But what about us as adults when we make those kind of mistakes? Like not seeing the glory of God working through people. We can understand childish understanding and behavior. What about adults who watch a man take 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and then follow him and say, hey, when are you going to show us a sign? And never mention that 5,000 people were fed with so little. A man walked into a shoe store and he tried on a pair of shoes. How do they feel? Asked the sales clerk. Well, they're a bit tight, replied the customer. The assistant promptly bent down, took a look at the shoes and the man's feet and said, try pulling out the tongue. And the man said, well, you're not looking good. Sometimes adults are funny too. Now in that situation, that's funny, but what about when we as adults misunderstand God? When we take what God says, what God does, and we mutilate it, because we either don't understand or we're trying to use God's words to manipulate others. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen someone try to use God to manipulate other people? You've heard me mention this before, but I've never forgotten because I was sitting there watching it and couldn't believe it myself. Back when Oral Roberts was around, and Oral Roberts said, if I don't raise $8 million, God's going to kill me. Wow. How many people in here believe that God gives a flip about money? Anybody? Let's take it to the broader spectrum. Does God care about material things? And yet, God was used so that someone was trying to raise $8 million and figured if I invoke God's name, I'll get it. That's just crazy. Far too long throughout the history of Christendom and Judaism, there have been those who use God's word to manipulate people, to frighten people, and yes, even break people's spirits. In medieval times, people were told that it was God's plan for the poor to serve the rich. That's how God wants it. And so you had serfs. And the lords would come out and make sure they were doing the Lord's work with a small L. Before and during the Civil War, there were preachers who actually preached that God not only condoned slavery, but in fact promoted such in Scripture. Can you believe it? I'm guessing they never read the gospel. I'm not sure what they were reading. In our scripture, Jesus points the crowd to the work of God, not humankind. He tells them they must have misunderstood what Scripture actually says, then adds, "For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now I've had a couple of people mention the title of the sermon. And yes, Johnny Lee in 1980 came out with "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." But you know, folks, we as Christians look for life in all the wrong places. We look for life in human things. An example, Jim Jones, David Koresh. You can go on with a list. "I'm going to put my faith in this person. Give myself to this person. I want them to be my Savior." And they were not. People died. If you're looking for life, look for life in Jesus Christ. We may look for life abundant, but you're not going to find it in people. You're going to find it in our Christ, the risen Christ. To do so is to look for life in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. Don't look to human beings to save you, but look to life in Jesus Christ, the bread of God, because that's the right place and that's the right face. And all too often we get confused as Christians and we just begin to start following the wrong people. So Jesus has a crowd following him, as usual, and they want to know, "When are you going to show us a sign?" We have the advantage of reading it and knowing what was actually going on. But think about it. There were a lot of miracles before this ever happened. And they were all reported, and everyone knew that Jesus was doing one miracle after another. And yet they say, "When are you going to give a sign?" Well, if all else fails, how about rising from the grave? That's a big one. Maybe when he got Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." That was another big one. And yet people still say to this day, "When are we going to see a sign?" And every day we wake up, there's a sign. Just walk out, look around, look at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to the beautiful music in the church that praises God. Look at your family. God gives us signs every day. And every day, so many of us are still looking. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for our church family. We're thankful that you do miracles every day in our lives. We're thankful for those like Ben Nash, 99 years old, Lord, and you're there in the midst of that life, as you are for all of us. We give you thanks and praise for all the many blessings that we have, and we ask that you continue to be with us as we go through this week and throughout our lives serving you, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.